So the story of Joseph, sort of to pick up where we've been, God had promised to Abraham that in his seed all the nations would be blessed. In other words, that there would be a Savior that would be born from one of his descendants. And there's this promise is just echoed with each generation. And so Abraham had a son, Isaac, and the promise went with Isaac. Isaac met this gal, Rebekah. They had two sons. What was the sons? Jacob and Esau. Esau was born first. The promise should have gone to him, but it didn't. God wanted to make it clear that the promise was given by his choice. And so he went to Jacob. And then Jacob ended up having 12 kids. And what happened with Jacob was is he sort of stole the birthright or tricked his brother into giving it to him. And it made his brother angry. He deceived his father, and the brother was going to kill him, so he fled. And he met a girl named Rachel and fell in love with her. But her father tricked him into marrying her older sister, Leah. And so he eventually was able to marry both of them. But it was this situation where he loved Rachel, but actually didn't love Leah. It was just something that he was tricked into. But God gave Leah 10 sons, which was a huge blessing for her. But she was unloved. And Rachel, he loved, he only gave one son to. This is Joseph, and this is the story that we're reading at. Now later, he gave her another son, Benjamin. And so this is, you know, where the idea of the 12 tribes of Israel come from this one family and these brothers. But it's a story of 10 brothers sort of living with the pain that their mother had from just being unloved and being in a family situation where their mother was just unloved. And that's a lot of pain to bear. And what happened was is their pain sort of focused in on Joseph. And when you read through the story, sometimes Joseph seems to be a little bit of a punk or a little bit obnoxious. But you know, it wasn't Joseph's fault that it was this situation. You know, and you could say, well, it was the dad's fault. Well, maybe it was the father-in-law's fault. You know, whose fault it is. Whatever fault it is, it was a painful situation that they really, Joseph just really irritated and sort of accentuated the pain that was there from this situation. And so one day they were out, and Joseph was sent out to check on them, because the father, since this is the one son from the woman that he loved, he just showered favor on Joseph, and that just made it even worse. And so Joseph was out checking on him, and they grabbed him and threw him in a pit, and they started joking around. Maybe they weren't joking, you know, we don't know about, like, maybe killing him. And you know, the older brother, the oldest, was just sort of going along with it, maybe just teach this kid a lesson and was going to give him back to the dad and save his life. But the other one sort of thought, well, you know, let's not kill him. Let's just sell him off into slavery. There were some traders that were coming by, and they thought, let's just sell him off. And so they sold their brother into slavery, and he was a slave then in Egypt. And what happened in Egypt was he, even though he was a slave, he did a great job and he proved to be trustworthy. And the guy who bought him ended up putting him in charge of his whole household. And so he had some amount of relief, some amount of success. But then that all fell through because the guy's wife falsely accused him and the guy threw him in jail. And now he's not just a slave in Egypt, he's, you know, in jail in Egypt. And he was there is in jail. And what happened is one of his fellow inmates had been released and was actually now the cupbearer of the Pharaoh of all of Egypt. And Pharaoh had had this dream and no one could interpret it. It was really disturbing him. And since he's the cupbearer, he's within proximity. And so he told Pharaoh, he said, hey, you know, when I was in jail, there was this guy who told me my dream that I would be released and be serving you. And that's all happened. So maybe he can help you. And so Pharaoh calls for Joseph. Joseph comes up and Joseph interprets the dream and says, here's what God's telling you, that there's going to be 7 years of really great produce, like double, just really bountiful. But then there's going to be followed by 7 years of famine. And the reason why God's telling you this is that if you save up during this 7-year period, then you'll have enough to make it through those 7 years of famine. Pharaoh said, great, I'm putting you in charge of that, you do it. And so Joseph has for 7 years been saving up all this, and now the famine has been going, and this is, I think, the second year of the famine. And what's happened is that all the other nations of that, the world around that, have been coming to Egypt to get food. So in other words, now Joseph has gone from his brothers sort of betraying him and going and then ending up in jail, and then now he's basically, you know, the ruler of the world in a lot of senses. I mean, Pharaoh's there, but Pharaoh's turned everything over to him because he's just proved to be so trustworthy for him. And he can see, Pharaoh can tell from this vision, this, that God's using him. And so this is where we sort of pick up the story of now Joseph has risen to this great place, as successful as you could possibly be, as wealthy as you could possibly be. Every form of success is resting on him. And now he's confronting or dealing with this pain of now his brothers have come to Egypt to get food because of the famine. They don't know that he's there. They don't know that he's alive. And he's revealing to them that he, the person who's in charge of all of Egypt, is the brother that they sold into slavery. And it's this moment where all sort of the pain of the whole thing on both sides and just the messed up family situation, everything is sort of coming to the forefront. And it's the question of how's Joseph going to deal with it? And so here's where we pick up the story. It says, then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, have everyone go out from me. So there was no one with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? And his brothers could not answer them, for they were dismayed at his presence. It actually says they were terrified at his presence. Now, the reason why they're terrified is pretty obvious. Because they had totally messed over their brother, didn't have any idea what had happened to him. For all they know, he was dead at that point. But now he's standing in all this power in front of them. And the question is, what's he going to do? Because he's faced with a decision. Is he going to get even? You know, is he going to treat them like they had treated him? And in their pain, they'd sort of just lashed out at him and messed with him. Is he in his pain going to do the same thing? Or is he going to forgive them? That's the question. And the interesting thing about the story that when you look at it, is sometimes, you know, we all have some sort of pain that's here. He's been stuffing it down. But there came this point where he just couldn't stuff it down anymore. You know, he tries to get everyone out because he just can't control it anymore. And a lot of times with pain, we think, I can just stuff it down. This is my favorite thing with pain. I just stuff it down. That's what I do. Karen's been working on me to not do that, but that's just what I do. And the thought is it'll just go away. It doesn't ever go away. You know, pain doesn't get healed by stuffing it down. You don't forget about it. Forget about it for a day or two, but all it does is it just stuffs down and it builds up and it comes out at some point. It's going to come out because you can't just say to pain, go away. You can't just tell your emotions to just not be there. I mean, you can, and you can kind of dull that and just not feel anything for a long time, but it eventually is going to come out. Sometimes we think, well, maybe if I can just become successful a little bit. Success doesn't heal pain. It doesn't take it. Joseph was as successful as you could get, saving up money, getting security, finding other friends, getting other family. None of these things take care of the pain that's there. You could say, well, if I could just get revenge, that might take care of it. That didn't take care of it for his brothers. Really, the only way that we're going to have the healing that we need from the pain that's there in our life, that's caused by others, that's caused by ourselves, that for whatever reason it's there, that the only way to get healing from that is through forgiveness. But the question is, how do we forgive? Because forgiveness isn't just saying to someone like, I forgive you. It's about that pain being dealt with. And so how's that pain dealt with for Joseph? Here's what he says to them. Joseph said to his brothers, please come closer to me. And they came closer. And he said, I'm your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. He just brings it right out. He says, do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. In other words, he's talking about sometimes it's not just forgiving other people, it's forgiving yourself is part of forgiveness. But he said, God sent me here before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. Now, therefore, it is not you who sent me here, but God. And he made me the father to Pharaoh and lord of all his household and ruler over all of Egypt. What he's saying is, he said, look, I've come to realize, I didn't choose to come to Egypt. You sold me into slavery. That wasn't something I chose to do. I didn't choose to go to prison. But there I met this guy, and this guy ended up being by Pharaoh, and Pharaoh ended up having this dream, and I ended up being able to. It's not something that he achieved on his own. He's looking at the whole totality. He's just taking a realistic look at the goodness that is there in his life, and he's making a calculation that I really have come to believe that this is God who's been doing this, that God's had a plan for my life. And it's been a good plan. It's not been a plan to destroy life. It's been a plan to preserve life, that God's out there caring for us, loving us, taking care of us, giving life, and he's included me in his plan of giving and preserving life. It's been a good plan that God has for me. And I realize that even though regardless of what you did, God turned it all out for good. Regardless of how other people have done things, God's been there and God's made things good. What he's doing is he's not giving forgiveness because he feels like, you know, they're going to change. He's not giving forgiveness because he feels like the situation. He's giving forgiveness because whether they change or not, he believes now from looking at things that God's taking care of them, that the promise of Jesus is that Jesus is sort of mediating. He's making things right. And that's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness isn't just saying to someone, oh, I forgive you. I mean, it can start there, but that may or may not even be a start. What forgiveness is, real forgiveness, is when you realize that pain or whatever that is, whatever it is that you need forgiveness, this person needs forgiveness from, that it's been taken care of and it's not there anymore, that it's been mediated, that it's all good. It'd be like, you know, this stupid example. Say Bill Gates came up and just slapped me upside the head, but then gave me $1 billion. I'd be all, oh, okay, great, do it again. Now, if he didn't, I'd be really ticked, right? So that's stupid. But what it is he's just looking at the totality of things and just saying, look, God's got my back. He has a plan. He's been moving me forward. He's been preserving my life, and now he's given me the goodness of being able to be in a position to help, to be a part of what he's been doing. And he's just saying it's all good. And it's only from that point that forgiveness isn't words. It's something that's in our heart. And the only way it can be there in our heart is if we go down this road of starting to look and see what God's doing. And so he says the key to forgiveness isn't thinking of it as some sort of religious ritual or some sort of way to like get someone to go here. He says the key is this. It's to stop looking at what everyone else is doing And stop looking at what you're doing, because he's even talking about it to his brothers. You need to forgive yourselves. Just stop looking at what people are doing and start looking and trying to figure out, what is God doing? And if you can start looking and seeing what God's doing, he said, what I've seen when I look at what God's doing is that he's preserving life, he's giving life, he's protecting me, he's taking care of me, even though everyone else has just been totally messing me over. God's been there for me. And from that place, he's able to have this release from all this pain that's there. He says, hurry and go to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all of Egypt. Come down to me and do not delay. You shall live in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children. Now, he's saying, who's the children? He's talking, send this to his father. The children are his brothers. That's his father's children. The brothers who had betrayed him. He refers to them as his father's children. He says, your children and your children's children. In other words, the grandchildren. He's send this message that your children, the brothers who have betrayed me, and their kids, who didn't really have anything to do with this. And your flocks and your herds, all that you have. And there also I will provide for you. For there are still 5 years in the famine to come. And you and your household and all that you have would become impoverished. Behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see. This is the one, his real brother. Not half brother, full brother, you could say. That this is the mouth which is speaking to you. One of the other reasons why it's good to pursue forgiveness and to be able to let go. He's saying, look, this is how you let go. You can't just let go by looking at what other people and hoping that they're going to change. There's not much hope there. Hope that you're going to change. If you're looking down this road of what people are doing, you're not really going to find forgiveness in your heart. But if there is a God, and if that God does love us, and if that God is giving us life, and if that God is forgiving us and taking care of us regardless, then you can look at that. He's saying, if I look at that, that's where the pain goes away, because I see that he's got my back. And if you go down there, he says, the reason isn't just to let go of that pain. That's enough of reason. But he says, look, there's people that he cares about, his father. And he's not the only person in pain. His father's been told that he's dead. His father's been in pain and still is in pain right now. And so he's saying, hurry, not for his sake. He's saying, hurry for my father. His father's, he's been released of the pain, but his father's still living in that pain. And he says, hurry, you know, so that he knows that I'm alive. And he knows if he does something to his brothers, that's his brothers are the children of his father whom he loves. Whatever he does to them is going to cause harm to his father. It's going to increase the pain. And as all he's bringing up here is that going down the path of, you can't just push it out, you can't just say, I'm not going to deal with it. It is all interconnected. And really the only way that we're going to have good relationships amongst each other and be able to have situations where I love this person loves me, and I'm not inflicting pain. The only way you can really go down that is to pursue this path of forgiveness. Because we're way more interconnected than what we think in our hearts. He begins talking with his brothers about their own need for forgiveness. And we've talked about this before. When you go down this other road of trying to control it or trying to manage it or just push it down, it just builds up this resentment. You start acting in a different way towards people. But he's saying when you pursue this path of forgiveness, it ends up being good for you and good for people that you love and builds those relationships. And here's where he really brings that out in these last two verses. He says, then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept on his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept on them. And this is, to me, the best part. And afterwards, his brothers talk to him. You know, if you've ever been in a fight with someone, a friend or something like that, and it's just like pretty intense, and then all of a sudden when it gets sort of worked out and like there's forgiveness that's there, then you can sort of let down and you just sort of talk for a little bit. What he's saying is that, look, you... Well, one time when I had first met Karen, I always had some different, like, her dad's really good at, like, confronting, I'll put it that way. So one time I was talking to him, and I was talking about this, and it's just like, people want me to do this, and I'm not going to do it because of this and this and this, and I'm, you know, they want this and that, and I was just going through the whole thing, and all of a sudden he just sort of cut me, and he goes, well, if there wasn't anyone else involved, what would you want to do? And he goes, oh, well, I probably want to do it then. He says, why don't you just do what you want? It was like a huge light went on in my head that 90% of what I did in life was all as a reaction to somebody else. All the things that I hated, I just did the opposite. I wasn't doing what I wanted to do. I was just doing the opposite of all the pain that was there. I was just reacting to that. That's the choice that is really before us with forgiveness. Is we're either going to live a life where we're sort of embracing our pain, reacting against it, getting bitter, worrying about it, stressed about what's going on, what this person is doing or what that person is doing, gauging just from a glance what they're looking at or not looking at, you know, worried about going, changing our clothes because we're worried how this is going to affect everything. You know, it just goes down to your whole life. You just start becoming enslaved to things that it has nothing to do with what you want. Or we can live a life where we're just embracing whatever it is that we love and making decisions based on what we want, on freedom. And that's why it says it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. It's not about adhering to some sort of religious thing or some sort of ethical code. It has nothing to do with that whatsoever. It has to do with all the pain that we obviously cause each other and just having the freedom within that to be able to love, to be able to care, to be able to think about what do I really want to do? And that's all that God's doing. He's just saying, Joseph says, look, and it's not something that you just... I mean, you take it by faith, but it's not that Joseph is just taking it by faith. He is, in fact, the ruler of Egypt. So, I mean, he's taking it by faith that God brought him to that place. But, I mean, when you look at it, it's like how, I mean, what, was it just a coincidence? Was it just luck? I mean, he obviously didn't get himself, what would you attribute it to? So he's taking it by faith, but it's not like he has nothing to go on. And that's what it is in our life. It's not like you just have to blindly follow. He's just saying, take a realistic look at the good things that are happening in your life. And see if it seems to you that this is coming from a God who must care for you and must love you and must be forgiving you and working it out regardless of what other people are doing. And if you come to that conclusion, and that is the case, what Paul says, it's for freedom that Christ is, that's incredibly freeing. Because now you can just sort of let go of the hurt. It doesn't really matter what anyone else is doing, because whatever it is that they're doing, they're not going to be able to stop God from what he's doing. And you put the burden on God. It wasn't like everything just went rosy for Joseph the whole time. He was in jail. But when he was in jail, he's even recognizing God's doing something here. You know, if he hadn't been in jail, he hadn't have met this guy. If he hadn't have met this guy, Pharaoh wouldn't have heard about him. He wouldn't be where he is. It's not that God wanted him in jail, or that was the only way to meet this guy, or the only way to work it out. But what God did is he just took everything that was happening, whether good or bad in his life, and he worked it out for good. So that in the end, Joseph is looking back and just saying, you know what, whatever, I was in jail. No big deal. Because of where God has brought me to now. And that's what the real promise of Jesus is about. It's not about a religious type thing or an ethical code or this or that. It's just if you feel like you've got some pain that's there, that, you know, you need to forgive, and you need to forgive even yourself and people, that forgiveness needs to be a part of this somehow. If you've come to that conclusion, then he's there and he's saying, I forgive. And he's saying, look around, instead of just chalking it up to coincidence or chalking it up to luck or chalking it up to some sort of that I'm the one who made this happen. If you want to do that, go ahead, he says. You have complete freedom. God's obviously giving you freedom to think whatever you want to think. He's saying, if you consider it and you come to the conclusion, I think that this good stuff that's happening has to be coming from God. And if it's coming from God, that he's forgiving. When you come to that place, the purpose of all that isn't to follow a religious code. The purpose of all that is to lift a burden off of us. To lift the stress that's just killing us. You know, to lift all the stress and the burden of making things happen. To lift all the pain off from what everyone's done. And to give us a real new life that's really just about freedom. About being free from all those things that are pushing us one way or the other to really ask, what do we really want? And what we really want, God's kind of knows already. What's the most fulfilling thing is to be a part of his plan in preserving life, to giving life. It's really fun when God uses you to actually bring about something good for someone else. And you know it wasn't you. But it just feels good to be in the middle of that. It's really fulfilling. And that's the joy that the promise of Jesus. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes for a second, and Sam will come back up. If you have some, I mean, we all have pain in our life, but if you've just been in your heart, it's come up, and you're thinking about it, and you don't know how you could forgive yourself or forgive the other person or whatever it is, I just challenge you to put it before the Lord. And just ask the Lord to bring forgiveness. And just ask him to open your eyes to see all the good that he's been doing in your life and help him to deal with it from the heart first rather than the words. And there'll be some people up here to pray. And if you have any needs, anything that's bothering you, any worries, any stress, you can come up and people will pray for you. And right now, if you haven't ever asked Jesus to be your Savior, but you'd like to pursue that, you'd like to ask for forgiveness, you'd like to go down this other road of forgiveness and see where Jesus takes you, if you haven't ever started that, raise your hand and I'll pray with you right now. And you can have Jesus as your Savior. Okay. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for being so good to us. Help our eyes to see how good you are. Help our hearts to just embrace that. And Lord, I pray that you just take away all the pain that's there for us and just give us freedom from that. Lord, some of the things that we've done that require forgiveness, I just pray that you would work that out, Lord. I pray that you wouldn't just give us forgiveness, but for whatever it is that we've hurt, for whatever damage we've done, I pray that you would make up for that somehow and make it right for that person, Lord. Lord, we just thank you so much for caring so much about us that you mediate all of the hurt and pain that we have and you turn things around and make them good for us, Lord. And we just want to lift up these last couple songs to you with that joy and thankfulness in our heart. We ask you in your name, Jesus. Amen.